Mutual presents Leave It to the Girls. This is Jack Arthur, friends, inviting you to join us in the fastest half hour in radio. 30 minutes of rapid-fire entertainment with five of the most glamorous and successful girls in America. Paula Stone, Bea Wayne, Robin Chandler, Eloise McElhone, and Anne Roundtree. Facing this round table of romance is the famous editor and publisher of Radio Row magazine and after-dinner speaker, Lou Laurier. And now, the girl who asked the question, the charming young star of stage, screen, and radio, co-producer of the Broadway hit, The Red Mill, Paula Stone.
Thank you, Jack Arthur, and hello, everybody. Tonight, we welcome back Lou Laurier. We're greeting him with five pairs of open arms and 10 clenched fists, because the last time Lou was on the show, well, he defended the men of America just a little bit too well, and we've neither forgotten it nor forgiven it. Robin, Eloise, and I are very happy to have with us tonight the popular singing star Bea Wayne and Anne Roundtree, glamorous and successful career girl. And Lou, you know the rules of the show. Blowing that silver horn you're holding is guaranteed to stop the show any time you disagree with the girls. And now, well, now let's get on with our very first question, which comes to us from Maywood, Illinois. A young lady writes, "When I was given my beautiful engagement ring, my fiancé mentioned that the ring was very costly and valuable. Having lost jewelry before, I decided to protect the ring and took it to be insured. Imagine my surprise when the appraiser told me the ring was solid glass, worth about $15. Now, I love my fiancé dearly, and I'm deeply hurt at his deception. Is this a forecast of things to come, and what should I do and say? I'd say the appraisal of that ring turned out to be an appraisal of the fiancé. What do you say, Robin?"
"Well, of course, this fiancé may overestimate glass. You can't tell. I'd give him the benefit of the doubt anyway, because most men, you know, they never know whether it's glass or a diamond. I wouldn't be very upset about it."
"Oh, Robin, I don't agree with you at all. My goodness, you can't overlook the fact that the man lied about it. I mean, no diamond..."
"Well, he might not have lied, Paula. He really might have thought $15 for a ring was a big slice of cheese."
He was something of a dummy then. And how about it?"
"Well, I think you should give the fellow the benefit of the doubt and also talk with him about it and ask him if he'd like to have it insured, because so many boys were fooled buying rings overseas and brought them back to girls, and they were really glass, and they thought they were good. So I think the fellow might be sincere."
Yes, Lou?
"You know, Paula, some people are born with a silver spoon in their mouths. It's taken me a long time to work up to a silver horn, so I've decided to use it. Miss No Name, Please, in my opinion, has been listening to too many soap operas. Her closing line, 'Is this a forecast of things to come? And what should I do and say?' reminds me of what I heard the other day on another network. The announcer's lead-in to the next day's dose was, 'Who left the alley door open? Who was in the cellar and why?' But in answer to her question, I'll say that accusing her fiancé of deception, well, that's jumping to conclusions. Of course, jumping to conclusions is the most exercise that girls get. You know, this girl's boyfriend might possibly have been swindled when buying this ring. There's no doubt about that. He might have thought it was the real thing. But you see, women have no sense of values. She thought the ring was beautiful. She said so in this letter to you, a beautiful engagement ring. The minute she found out it was worth $15 and only a piece of glass, then she said her boyfriend deceived her. Why, I've known many people who started marriage without even a piece of glass to put in their window if they had a window."
Robin?
"Well, I think Lou's kind of overworking the charm and honesty of this dear man."
"Oh, Robin.
I mean, after all, I've given him the benefit of the doubt, and you've wrapped him up in a mink coat and sent him home to his mother."
"What's wrong with a mink coat?"
"B.
Well, I agree with you, Lou, that he
Thank
may have
you.
Been swindled, because men really are so gullible they can easily be fooled."
"Well, if they weren't, they would never get married."
"We love you madly, but you must blow the silver horn when you want to interrupt."
"Oh, I must blow the
yes,
horn."
"Yes, you must remember that."
"All right, Paul."
"I think you can remember that. It's only one thing to remember."
"Wait till I write it down."
"He Yes, you do that. Eloise, will you please get in on this?
Yes, with all this conversation, I think that she definitely should demand an explanation, because all of the girls and Mr. Laurier seems to think that he was swindled, which, of course, is possible, and he may mean to buy her a better one later on. On the other hand, men being what they are, he very possibly just didn't want to spend that much money for a ring, or he may be thinking of breaking the engagement later on, and then he won't have to worry about getting it back.
You're right, Eloise. It's easier to break glass than in diamond. Well, now, our next problem for discussion comes from a man in New York City who signs his letter, "No name, please." My wife came upon an idea in a magazine, and a new system has been installed in our home, a little too enthusiastically. If I happen to come home later than my usual time, she refuses to serve me dinner on the grounds that her hours of work have ended. If I take a little longer eating dinner, that's overtime. She doesn't like it. Sunday is now her day off. She leaves me with the chores and dashes off with the children. How can I restore her to normal? Please advise me quickly. Oh, isn't that just like a man, Ann?
Did you say she took the children with her on Sundays?
That's right.
Well, I don't know what he's complaining about then.
I think she left the dirty dishes for him. Be Wayne.
Well, he says, please advise quickly. I can give him advice in 3 words. Get a maid. 3 more words, if you can.
Yes, I should think so. You know, the trouble with most men, they treat their wives like maids, and then if the wife wants to take the advantage of the day off, they don't like it. That's one problem with men. Robin?
Well, we don't know her side of the story. I mean, he may amble in at 7 one night and 10 the next, which is pretty rugged on a wife who's preparing dinner. If he comes in at the same hour every night, well, I think she should have his dinner ready and there shouldn't be any complaints. But let's ask him what time he gets in and if it's reasonably regular, or if it's 7 and 10 and 11 and 12 and maybe 1 or 2 occasionally.
Yes, we could ask him, Robin, but it would cost him another 3-cent stamp to answer us.
Oh, I don't think he'd want to.
I think that'd be too big a strain on him. Eloise.
Well, as she seems to be striking for better working conditions, I think it's up to him to give them to her. I mean, get home at time one night, raise her allowance, and kiss her as much as he did before they were married. I think the only reason that a woman would do this kind of thing to a man is to get him out of that zombie-like condition they seem to get in after they get married.
Are you through, Eloise?
Yes, I'm through.
Well, no name, please, is an optimist. He wants to restore his wife to normal. It's impossible to restore a woman. It's impossible to restore a woman to a state in which she's never been. You know, I'm not through, Robin. I'm not through. As a matter of fact, the basis on which she's working now, pretty soon when she's telling bedtime stories to her children, she'll begin with, "Once upon a time and a half." I don't think that he should attempt to restore the normal. The thing to do is for him, definitely, if he has the kind of a job at which, with which he doesn't know when he's through, doesn't know what time he'll be home, he's sometimes late for dinner. When he's going to be late for dinner, let him eat at the club. Call her up and say, "I'm having dinner at the club." She'll soon get tired of that. And then I agree with B. On Sundays, by all means, if she wants to go out with the children, hire a maid, and a good-looking maid, and that'll keep her at home.
Now, isn't that just like a man's point of view, hire a good-looking maid? But he wouldn't pay his wife a penny to stay home.
If you're going to hire one and pay money, why get any other kind?
B. Wayne, did you want to add to this?
Well, I think perhaps if she has a sense of humor, he can break her down and install a time clock in the hallway and send her some fatigues, or rather overalls, and a union card. And maybe she'll realize that it's pretty silly altogether and go back to normal living.
Well, you know, I'd like to point out here, strangely enough, most women don't mind doing the housework and the washing and the ironing and the taking care of the home and the marketing. They don't mind any of that, doing it for the man that they've loved, that they love, rather, and they've married. But they don't like... What they don't like is for the man to take all of that as if it were due him as Lord and Master over all creation. They want the same love and affection that they had on the honeymoon. And the honeymoon is over with the first washing and ironing that comes in, it seems to me.
But, Paula, after all, on the honeymoon, the man isn't spending 8 hours a day in his office making money.
He isn't, Lou? I have an answer, but I won't give it. I'll just say the next question...
Oh, Paula.
The next question comes to us from Catherine Coffey of Arlington, Massachusetts. And Miss Coffey has this to say. After keeping steady company with a young man for several months, his only complaint is that my IQ is higher than his. Do you think that when a man feels that a woman is smarter, it helps or hinders the marriage? You know, if the man isn't too dumb, he'll appreciate a smart wife. Don't you agree, Ann?
Well, certainly, I don't think that man's so dumb. I think he has a very high IQ to recognize that that his future wife has an IQ. Most men think women are dumb, and they don't even know what IQ stands for.
In most cases, it means I quit, and the wife walks out when she finds her husband is that dumb. Oh, Jack Arthur, you want to get in?
Thank you, Paula. I think we should move on to the next letter. I think this whole question is based on a misapprehension. Who ever heard of a woman having a higher IQ than a man?
That just proves how dumb a man can be. Yes, Robin?
Well, I think the boy is kidding her. Because if he really thought she had a higher IQ than he did, he'd never tell her. And I think he's just telling her, leading her on and trying to flatter her. And if I were her, I wouldn't take it very seriously.
Well, I'd certainly much rather have a man say to me, you have such pretty eyes and you have a higher IQ. I don't think that's anything that really flatters a woman too much. Eloise, am I right or wrong?
Well, I think you're right, Paul. I think the only reason that he's saying it, you know, he says that kind of thing so that you'll turn to the man and say, oh, no, you are cleverer than I am. And then they get very happy about it. But I don't think that she need worry about it at all, because whether he's really in love with her, he's not really going to be thinking about her IQ, because even a brain trust of a man, which he apparently is not, when he's kissing you, can't concentrate on two things at once, and when he's kissing you, he's not going to be thinking of your IQ. And I have yet to meet the man who didn't think kissing was more important.
Well, Luke? Girls, I'm forced to agree with Jack Arthur. You know, any man who is so deluded as to concede a girl's IQ is higher than his, he isn't quite ready for matrimony. However, I do think the young man in this case is a politician. He's trying to make her feel good, and she's vain enough to believe it, as all women are. But that's only natural. It's typical of women. You know, you take this show, the format of this show, for instance. You have five brilliant, scintillating, and beautiful girls here. And they're defending the womanhood of America. And to defend the manhood of America, who opposes them? One man. 1 to 5, admitting that a woman's IQ is only 20%. Thanks, boys.
All right,
boys.
Eloise McElhone, get in there and pitch.
Absolutely. We do not admit that at all. We are simply giving the poor man, which he needs, 5 chances to think. We just get 1.
You know... I almost didn't get that horn off then, Eloise. That's true. You give us 5 chances to think, because a man's brain is the only brain that can work 5 times to a woman's once.
Friends, this is Jack Arthur breaking in here at the halfway mark to say that you're right in the middle of the fastest half hour on the air. Radio's Leave It to the Girls, starring Paula Stone, Bea Wayne, Robin Chandler, Eloise McElhone, and Anne Roundtree, with Lou Laurier defending the men of America.
And now back to our board of experts. This next letter comes to us from Hollywood, California. Miss Catherine Buehling writes, my sister and I, both in our early 20s, have had quite a discussion lately about how a girl can get the kind of husband she wants. My sister contends that a girl can do no more than accept or reject the boys who beat a path to her door. Now, I believe that a smart girl, by cleverly playing her cards, can get almost any fellow she wants. What is your opinion? All right, girls, there's a challenge. What is your opinion? Yes, Robin?
Well, I don't think that's true, I'm sorry to say. I think that, sure, a smart girl can go out and go after a man, but unless that particular man is attracted to her, it's a 10-year project to get him.
Well, yes, I mean, cleverly playing your cards doesn't always make you
a
winner.
No,
love isn't
a
game of gin rummy.
Women can get too shrewd, and then they're left sitting on the bench.
Lou?
Eloise has her hand up, and I'm afraid she's going to say that if this girl wants the men to beat a path to her door, she should build a bigger and better mousetrap, because any way you look at it, she's out to catch a rat. But,
That isn't what I was going to say.
You have no horn. That's fine. Well, I'll tear that one up. I'll try to think up your next one, Eloise.
All right.
Catherine Doolin contends that she can get most any man she wants by cleverly playing her card. She assumes it's a game of solitaire, overlooking the possibility of the man himself having a few cards to play. Of course, men do beat a path to a girl's door. There's no question about that. But generally, it's not the little curve or her finger beckoning to them. It's the bigger and better curves that get them.
Lou, Catherine Dueling didn't say that she necessarily thought that she could get any man. She was merely carrying on this argument with her sister and said that she believed a smart girl, by cleverly playing her cards, could get any man that she wanted.
Doesn't every girl think she's a smart girl?
Yes and no, Lou. No until she meets a man, and then yes by comparison. She's always the smart girl.
Very good.
B. Wayne.
I think you can do a little better than reject or accept the men that come to your door. You have to be a little smart and a little shrewd. I'd like to bring up my own case, if I may, be a little personal. I had a crush on a man, and he fainted. And he didn't know
he
me.
What?
Listen, he fainted. And I put on my little thinking cap and got a pitcher of ice water and threw it all over his face. When he came to, he was so angry, this is the truth, Paula, that he decided to get even with me and asked me to marry him. And that was 8 years ago. Believe me.
And Andre Baruch is now the proud papa of a bouncing boy.
No cigars?
Anne. Well, I don't think you should just take anyone that comes to your door. I think a smart girl doesn't really go after a man, but she puts herself in the right places to meet the right sort of people. And I think this girl ought to go around to different sort of clubs and meet the sort of man she might like to marry and associate with those sort of people.
Well, of course. In other words, she doesn't have to always stay in the same door. She can find a lot of doors, wandering in and out the Pentagon building. Eloise.
Well, I think that everybody's left out the most important part of the discussion, and that's love. Because until you're in love, no matter how many men you meet, you don't know which one you want. And afterward, I think that a smart girl can sort of manage it, because when you really are in love, they say that, you know, when people are a little bit crazy, why they have much more strength to get what they want, and love certainly affects you that way.
Well, B?
This question, the young lady says that you can get any man you want by being smart. Well, that really can't be true, because everybody wants Van Johnson or Jeffrey Lynn or Frank Sinatra, and you just can't get them.
Somebody has Jeffrey Lynn.
I'll settle for Van anytime.
You're so right.
Well, now, look, I'd sort of like to sum this up for Catherine Dueling of Hollywood. I say it depends on just what a girl is after. As Eloise points out, you just can't ignore love. But if some girl starts out after a bankroll, I mean, if you look at life from that angle, you're playing a losing hand no matter what kind of card you play. So the thing I think for Catherine Dueling to concentrate on is not necessarily seeing how clever she can be by just finding men. It's to fall in love and then be awfully fortunate if the right guy falls in love with her. I think that's about the best answer we could give her. Oh, incidentally, girls, she did have this argument with her sister. Would you say her sister was right, or do you say they're both wrong? Let's have just one concise answer to that. Robin.
Well, which is which? I mean, it's the sister that thinks you can get any man if you're smart.
No, the sister thinks you have to just accept or reject the boys who come to your door, and it's the other one. Yes, Anne?
I think the sister's entirely wrong.
Oh, you think it's the smart card playing that does the trick, huh? Eloise?
Which of the sisters is married? She is the smartest.
Well, since they aren't married as yet, I don't know. Eloise, we'll go right on to our next question. This one from Michigan. It's signed No Name, Please. And I think this is quite a dilly of a question, girls. Listen. I am an old man, 72 years of age. My wife died in September 1941. I've been very lonely ever since and would like to get acquainted with some nice little woman about 60 years old, one that has enough to support herself. How should I go about finding this person? B. Wayne?
Well, I think he ought to go to an old age, old folks home, rather, and play the field.
What kind of playing? Croquet? Anne?
Well, he doesn't say what his intentions are after he finds this woman that can support herself.
I'm sure at 72 years of age, they're strictly honorable.
You do forget one thing, Paula. You say at 72 years old, they're strictly honorable. Please don't forget that no matter if there is snow on the roof, it doesn't mean the fire's out within.
Jack, you want to add to this?
Yes, I'm going to try, Paula. I say that a woman 60 years old who is able to support herself is looking for a man 27, not 72.
Yes, come to think of it, girls, what about that line, a 60-year-old woman, one who has enough to support herself? Isn't that rather overdoing it a bit? That's sort of all this in heaven, too, isn't it, that this man is looking for, Eloise?
Yes, I'd say that it simply proves that men just never change. I mean, even at 72, they want some gal who's out working, knocking herself out, trying to support herself. And if she's gotten to be 60 years old and can support herself, what would she want with a man? She'd settle down in peace. Why take on a guy and end up in pieces?
What I can't understand, Paula, is why at 72 he's still looking for trouble. But anyway, you girls have had your way long enough. Now it's time for me, I believe, and I'd like to ask you a few questions. What do you say to that?
Well, that's all right, Luloria. I guess it is about time we gave the men a chance. Ladies and gentlemen, the man strikes back.
First, why is it when a man wants to leave the house, even if it's just to go down to the corner store to get a package of chewing gum or cigarettes, his wife will always insist upon knowing where he's going? Why and for how long? Do you women actually realize this is the best way in the world to make a man hate you? B?
What you don't realize is that the woman is really being very sweet. I mean, in case while he's gone, the phone rings and the boys want him to play poker or something, and she can take the message and tell him when he'll be back.
That's very cute, B, but nowadays, what man has a phone? Paula?
Well, Lou, it's just this. The man goes to the corner store to get a package of cigarettes. He's gone for 2 hours. Now, what is the wife to assume? That he's down there talking to the cigar store Indian?
The wife will probably assume that he's talking to a girl, not a cigar store Indian. But I say, why does she always want him to practically punch a time clock? You know, if she gets him in the habit of punching a time clock, she shouldn't be too surprised when someday the husband mistakes her for the clock. Anne?
I think a husband that really wants his wife to know where he's going and really loves her, he'll tell her. But if he's not that sort, whatever he tells her won't be the truth anyway, so it's no use to ask him.
All right, the next question. Women are always complaining that men are hard to live with. Yet it's almost an accepted fact that no two women can live together for more than a week without battling. Now, how do you blame a poor man for not being able to get along with a woman when she can't even get along with her own sex? Robin.
Well, probably one reason why women battle, Lou, is they're mentally so high-keyed. You know, they have to argue, and you really discuss things and get excited. A man goes along phlegmatically dull, you know, makes idle comments, never gets excited. That's the trouble?
It's
the low IQ we were discussing before.
The low IQ. Eloise?
Well, I think it's ridiculous. I don't think that your question is true at all. I live with my mother. We get along like a dream. I've got thousands of friends who live together. Nobody ever has fights. It's two men who can't live together because each is always trying to prove to the other that he's the bigger wolf. And everybody knows that wolves can't get along because they're always at the same chicken's door.
Eloise? You say you have thousands of friends who live together. That must be an interesting spectacle. And?
What I would like to know...
With the housing shortage today, I can understand it.
What I would like to know is, how do you know so much about the fact that two women can't live together?
Well, you see, I'm 18 years old. And I've learned an awful lot in 18 years. Paula.
Lou, I was just going to say that I really don't believe the question at all. I don't think that men are hard to live with. I really don't. I mean, it's...
Remind me to kiss you after the show.
No, I don't. They're very sort of easy to get along with. If you just let them throw their clothes all over the room and not pick up anything, and if you let them come in at night and pull everything out of the icebox and then forget to put the milk back in the refrigerator and they stack the dirty dishes, and if you won't say anything about it, you know, if you just let it go, they're awfully easy to get along with.
Well, I agree with you there. But after all, Paula, you must remember, men didn't start all this. If you go back far enough in history, I mean, you'll find that a little girl named Eve actually got the human race underway by chasing Adam.
Oh,
Paula?
That was just a rib.
Oh, just a rib. And for that, I present you with an apple.
And Adam didn't have any clothes to leave around in the bedroom.
Oh. Which all reminds me of the woman who woke up in the middle of the night and punched her husband and said, "Say, do you realize that you've been swearing at me in your sleep?" And he said, "Darling, who's asleep?" Eloise.
Why don't you just rush on to the next question?
That's right. You're leaving at 9:28. Well, why is it a girl will spend hours making herself look beautiful as possible, and then pretend that she just threw herself into some old thing and isn't looking quite as well as usual? Just who is she trying to fool? Anne.
Well, how do you know how much time she's taken? Maybe she only took 5 minutes.
Oh, please. I had three sisters, Anne. I know. Robin.
Well, to put it frankly, she's just waiting for you dumb bunnies to say, "Well, gosh, you look wonderful. You look so attractive." It takes 3 or 4 speeches to get a compliment out of a man.
Well, you heard that, ladies and gentlemen. Dumb bunnies. And they call this the man strikes back, huh? Eloise?
I don't think it's true. I don't think a girl does say, "I just threw myself together." She's perfectly willing to admit that it takes a long time to get ready for a date, but then when she's finished, why, you really get something. It's the men who don't want to admit that they take hours, because even if they do, they still arrive with that same old look.
Well, I'll tell you, Eloise...
Oh, I'm sorry, Lou Loria, and hands down, girls. You know that's all we have time for tonight. Isn't that a shame? Well, it's been fun having you with us, Lou Loria, but our time is just about up. And we want to thank you, too, Ann Roundtree and B. Wayne, for adding to the fun of the program. Folks, I'd like to say for the girls and myself, we really appreciate your letters, and we're so glad if we have helped you with any of your problems. It's been a lot of fun, so keep them coming. Don't forget to listen in again next week. Until then... this is Paula Stone saying so long, friends.
Before I give you the lineup for next week, I'd like to invite each and every one of you listening in to write us a letter tonight. The success of this program depends upon your letters. We want you to send us your problems, comments, and suggestions. For every question used on this program, the sender receives $10 in cash. All the letters become property of Leave It to the Girls, and the decision of our editorial board is final. Address your letters to Leave It to the Girls, care Mutual Broadcasting System, New York 18, New York. And don't forget to join us again next week over most of these mutual stations with Paula Stone, Madge Evans, Florence Pritchard, Robin Chandler, and Eloise McElhone. Here to defend the men of America will be that expert on marriage and its problems, author of the best-selling guide to marriage, How to Pick a Mate, and the director of the Marriage Counseling Service at Penn State College, Dr. Clifford Adams. Leave It to the Girls is a Martha Roundtree production. Jack Arthur speaking. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.